Testing. Good morning, everyone. Over the Sundays of Advent, as we start, there'll be a piece of music that's played or a song that's sung. That will help us lead us, they'll help lead us into a time of worship. And, or as this morning, that Jenny will play a piece called Emmanuel that we'll listen to. And over the weeks of Advent, we'll also be aided in our reflection by the manger scene that will be added to each week. And thanks to Touchstones, Wendy, thank you everyone who's a part of that as well. And there'll be some things over Advent that we'll do that we'll add as we go. And so this morning, we prepare ourselves for worship as we hear a piece entitled Emmanuel. Thank you, Jenny. Well, again, good morning and welcome as we gather together, and a word of welcome to those of you who will be listening to this at a different time. We are so glad that you're able to share together in this service of worship. We're about to light the Advent candle, and now I've not prepared anyone to come forward and to do that. I'll simply be asking for a volunteer to come forward to light the candle as I say some words, and we will do it that way this morning. So if there's someone who'd like to come forward and to light one of the purple candles, that would be great. Thank you. We are a people of hope. We light the candle of hope with our hearts full of anticipation, believing that the kingdom is near and God's light will shine bright in the midst of our darkness. And we just take a moment of quietness prior to this prayer, as we think about one hope that we have for this Christmas. God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, help us to be filled with your hope and to rejoice in your presence. Inspire our minds and our hearts today. Enliven our thoughts and our senses, we pray. May we be open to your word, alert to your world, awake to your gift coming in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And before we sing the hymn, there's some words from Psalm 25 that we will share together, and I invite you to share the words that are in the bold type. To you, O Lord, we lift up our soul. O my God, in you we trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long, my soul. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. We sing, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. I really appreciate people in the congregation full of creativity, and including Margot, who has done this hanging here, beautifully quilted. And Margot, thank you so much for the way that and creativity is such a great thing because it adds so much to, no matter how that comes to us, it adds very much to our gathering together and our focus on the God whom we seek to worship. We come to God in prayer. Most wonderful God, you are beyond our sight, above our thought, infinite, eternal, and unsearchable. Your wisdom shines in all your works, and your glory is shown in your goodness to all people. Your grace and truth are revealed in Christ, whose coming was announced by John the Baptist. John cried out to those people long ago, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And he told them to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Lord, he is preparing the people to receive the one more powerful than he, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire, Jesus our Lord. John confronts us as we also make preparations to receive Jesus. How then, O Lord, do we respond, both personally and as this faith community? O Lord, when our faith is grounded deeply in you, our lives reflect your kingdom values of justice and righteousness. But sometimes our lives become so entangled with the values of the world that your values take second place. Please forgive us. Merciful God, strip our hearts and minds of all that prevents us from grounding our lives firmly in you. May our lives bear fruit worthy of our faith in you as we watch and wait for the ways that you break into our world in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. But God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hear then God's word of grace to us. It is in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. In Jesus we know God's forgiveness and peace, and we share now a word of peace and welcome with each other. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We take some moments to share a greeting with each other. Good morning, Jenny. Sorry? Well, it's good to be sharing together amongst God's people. We sing the hymn, Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Dawn will shortly come up and give some announcements, but before she does that, I need to make reference to the other document that you may have been handed as you came in this morning. It's a letter to the Uniting Church congregations across Queensland from the General Secretary and the Moderator. I won't be making any particular comment on the content, which is there for you to read, but simply say that Adam and Bruce were aware that this matter was again before the court this week, and being conscious that this would be and was prominent in the media, they wanted to acknowledge and speak to the distress that this would cause many people. If you have some particular distress around this matter, please know that I'm available to talk with. Or it may be that there is also a particular person of trust that you could meet with. So I'll leave that for you to peruse and to consider. And please continue to pray for those who have been so severely impacted. Or just to mention again that during Advent, there's an opportunity to gather for 15 minutes of prayer, 8:15 to 8:30. I think I'll change that to the office here. It's a bit cooler in there. But wherever you are at 8:15, please take the opportunity to pray. Perhaps if you're driving at that point, just wait till you arrive, maybe, and drive. But to be reflective of that, each Sunday of Advent, you're more than welcome to join me in some prayer.
Good morning and welcome to everyone who's here. And it's lovely to see our friends from Fairview again. And also we have Marion's cousin Judy with us. She was here at Artburst, so that's why she might look a little familiar to some of you. The lovely lectern fall that we have that David spoke about, the thing I like particularly is that it's not a stable scene there. The little diamond in the middle has the wise men, and I think that's like a window to the future, because they came so long after the actual birth and they were travelling for a long time to get there, and a very hard journey, as T.S. Eliot wrote, that they had. So I think that's really nice to have that ready for us now, to think about this is a time not just leading up to Christmas but leading to the future as well. So there is a little stable scene as well. So that's a really interesting process to see that this is going forward, and I think that's very suitable for all of us at the moment. Now, although some things are slowing down a little bit and or taking a break over Christmas, there's still quite a few important events happening in the next fortnight. Next Sunday, very special celebration service for Refreshed and other volunteers. so thankful to have so many willing volunteers doing all kinds of things in our community. And it's a carols and reading service, so it'll be a very accessible service for anybody, even if they don't usually come to church. So please invite people to come along and join in that celebration to thank those people who work so faithfully at Refreshed and allow us then to distribute that money, a lot of that money, to very special mission projects. And the latest Reflections has an overview of all of those too. And if you've got people who are volunteering in the community outside, you might like to invite them to come along and be part of that gratitude to volunteers, without whom our society would really stop functioning altogether, I think. And later in the month, you can read in Reflections about Brookfield. They also have that rather more intimate outdoor carol singing much closer to Christmas. And make sure you do have your Reflections. I'm afraid the diary got squeezed out because there's so many rosters over the next time and so many Sundays and extra services that I just couldn't work out where to put it, and I gave up. The Bible study will not be in discussion group, won't be meeting in December. They'll be coming back in January, and I'm sure you'll hear about it then. So some things are having a break. Some things are starting up completely new or one-offs. So have a good look at what's going on and join in as much as you're able. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dawn. We now have a short video, a shorter version of the one we had last week, for the Christmas Bowl.
To be home is to be safe in a place where you belong. Today, more than 120 million people around the world have had to flee their homes to safety. That's one in every 69 people who no longer have the peace of a safe place to call home. For 75 years, through the Christmas Bowl, caring Australians like you have been providing life-changing support for people displaced by conflict and disaster. People like Jane, who lost her home and three of her children when a cyclone hit Zimbabwe. With the support of the Christmas Bowl, she was able to rebuild her life. For 75 years, we've stood by people like Jane, because together, we are stronger. Today, as we face an unprecedented humanitarian displacement crisis, there's never been a more important time to act for peace. Please join us by giving to the Christmas Bowl, because everyone deserves a safe place to belong.
Luke 3, verses 1 to 20. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all of the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, and make straight paths of him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is ready at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What shall we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to do," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" And he replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he'd done, Herod added to them all. He locked John up in prison. That is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So this week, as is often the case in the early weeks of Advent, we look at John the Baptist. Next week, as Dawn said, is carols, our carol service, and then giving some thanks for volunteers. The week after that, we'll look at Simeon in the latter part of the Christmas story, and then the final Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, we'll spend some time looking at Mary. Some of you may be familiar with the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. Calvin's this young boy. Would precocious be a good description for those of us who know that? He's an interesting little fella. Calvin is this young boy, and he has a toy tiger that he talks with, and Hobbes talks back to him. So he's an imaginary tiger, he's a toy, but there's this conversation as they have all sorts of adventures together. And on one of these comic strips, the following conversation takes place. In the first frame, this young boy Calvin speaks to Hobbes, his tiger, and says, "Live for the moment is my motto. You never know how long you got." And then in the second frame, Calvin continues, "You could step into the road tomorrow and wham, you get hit by a cement truck. Then you'd be sorry you put off all your pleasures. That's what I say, live for the moment." And then he asks Hobbes, his toy tiger, "What's your motto, Hobbes? What's your motto?" And Hobbes replies, "My motto is, look down the road." Look down the road. Advent. Advent means coming. And in this season, we think about two things coming. We think about how Jesus came to be with us a long time ago, that very first Christmas, and then secondly, how Christ is coming to be with us again. So in that sense, Advent has two faces, one that looks to the past and one that looks to the future. One that speaks of the expectation and hope of the coming of God's Messiah, and one that tells of the extraordinary gracious act of God whereby God became human and dwelt among us, that God broke into human history. But Advent also looks to the future in expectancy for what God is yet to do in history. A second Advent, a second coming, when this same Jesus, now the risen and ascended Lord, will return for that which is his. In many ways, today's Bible reading, and thank you, Margot, for reading that, today's reading from Luke is about us, as Hobbes put it, to look down the road. For both Advents, that first one, that which is to come, are about the promise that God has made to us. It's about that vision from Isaiah 40 that's quoted in Luke chapter 3, to make straight paths where hills are made low, where valleys are filled, and that which is rough is made smooth. Amidst the season, this Advent season of hope, joy, peace, and love, we have a nice, cheery Advent greeting from John the Baptist. Repent. And he's just starting. He goes on to greet the Pharisees and the Sadducees with these nice, cheery words. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, that's not very Christmassy, is it? Surely. Surely there's some more appropriate words for us to hear 24 days out from Christmas. Where's all that stuff about Jesus, meek and mild, and where are all those peaceful and calming carols that we sing? Brood of vipers. Perhaps John could give us some better news than that on this first Sunday of Advent. Well, there is good news here, and we need to dig a little to find it. For in today's gospel reading, we discover something of the essence of the good news of Jesus for the people then and for us now. And that is to be able to acknowledge who we are. To acknowledge that we mess things up. To acknowledge that we're not all that we are meant to be. And that God takes all that and renews us and enables us to change. To repent. That's all that the word repent means, is to change direction. So I'm walking here, I repent, I turn around and face the other direction. So God takes all of that and renews us and enables us to change, to repent, to live lives free, free to serve. So how does John's message relate to what we should be doing during Advent to prepare for Christmas? Well, let me reframe that question to this. What are your hopes and dreams for this Christmas? Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, dreamt for the time when a king, a just king, shall come. A root shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Isaiah dreams of a day when a righteous king shall rule and establish justice and peace for all the world. And expresses the people's dream for this kind of leader, from one of David's descendants. And we've looked at that the last few weeks in the story of Ruth. What are your hopes and dreams for this Christmas? John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness inviting people to respond to a new beginning, the dream of God's coming reign. He announces the advent, the coming of God's Messiah. The Messiah has arrived. And I'm going to do a quote. Many of us would have the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, I suspect, or seen the movie that was made. There's a great quote. Where it's announced that Aslan, the great lion, is coming. Aslan, for C.S. Lewis, is this Christ-like figure. And for those of us who know the story, that's more than an appropriate thing. But there's a part in the book The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe where they're anticipating Aslan's coming. And C.S. Lewis says this: wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, he shall have spring again. There's this anticipation of Aslan coming and things will be different, that there will be change, there will be renewal. And it's a very similar image, both in Isaiah and in John, that Jesus' coming will bring change and bring renewal. And we see John on fire with this dream of new life, and we see people catching on to John's understanding of God's reign. And he speaks some really strong words, and they're very uneasy words for us to hear. And yet through them he called people to a new way, to a new life. Repent simply means, as I said, to change direction. And those whom John baptized hoped, dreamed, if you will, of a new life, a new way, and prepared themselves for the new things that God was doing. In both Isaiah and John, we grasp something of the fact that history is going somewhere, that the time is full, that the change is near, that change is near. And here this morning, indeed throughout Advent and Christmas and beyond, we hear the extraordinary claim that in Jesus, God is bringing history to its fulfillment. In Jesus, our human story has been and is being reordered, renewed, changed. And that's good news. We can face the possibility of a new start, a new beginning, a new life. A call to prepare for the things that God is doing in our midst here and in the community in which we belong and in the world in which we share. And part of our task is to listen, to be alert to what God is doing. Or in the words of Hobbes, to look down the road and to be alert to that. That our human story is caught up in the story of all history in the person of Jesus. So what are your hopes and dreams for this Christmas? The good news of Advent is that God is coming amongst us, not to destroy us, but to refine us, to help us to become what we were meant to be. And that's good news. It's God's great gift to us, to own up to what we have been and done, to express our sorrow and to be relieved of the terrible burden of having to think that we are right all the time. And may we be filled with the freedom of knowing that we are not, and the joy of knowing that we don't have to be. And that I would suggest is freedom. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free." Hobbes, in his wisdom, told Calvin to look down the road, be alert to what is happening around you. Now that can become a bit difficult, especially at this time of year, with busyness, so much coming and going, this to do and that to do, as well as all the other things that happens, providing for ourselves, our family, difficulties in life, perhaps in our relationships, concerns about things in our community and nation, decisions that have been made by governments and businesses that impact upon us in both large and small ways, and those things that are very despairing that come to us in our news services. There is much that can cloud our perception and vision of what God is doing around us. So much so that sight of God's kingdom remains just out of view. The immediacy of the situation focuses our attention away from the bigger picture, and at times it becomes hard for us to grasp the reality of certain situations. So the attitude of Advent is to be alert to what's going on around us, of understanding what the signs are around us are trying to tell us, and to ready ourselves for the fulfillment of God's word in Jesus in our midst, of readying ourselves by prayer, of readying ourselves by having in us the hope that God calls us to have. So let's look around and let's look down the road. A prayer. How many times, Lord Jesus, have you come to us unwelcomed? How often have you visited, yet we have been too busy to notice? Spoken, yet we have been too full to hear you? Please change all our insensitive habits and help us to follow you during this Advent. Make us so sensitive to your immediate comings in the ups and downs of each ordinary day that we shall be well prepared to welcome your final coming as a consummation of love and joy when all is made complete. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We sing again, A Child in the Manger, and during this time our offering will be received. Praise you, Lord God, creator of all. From you every good and perfect gift comes. We offer these gifts, Lord, for the work of your church and the care of your people throughout this community, this nation and the world. May all we offer to you be used to enrich and affirm life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us begin our prayer with thanksgiving and rejoicing as we invite the Lord to be with us as we embark on the season of Advent. Let us raise our voices in song and prayer to honor our Lord and thank him for the gift of hope and renewal that he has given us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of hope. Inspire us to be a people of hope as we wait in anticipation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Inspire us to be the hope for others with our word and deeds in our daily dealings with those around us, by being a people of peace and love, by being active listeners, by showing kindness and gratitude, and following the example of Jesus. Not at all an easy task. Help us to aspire to be the proverbial candle of hope in the lives of those around us. Inspire us, Lord, to make time in our busy lives to share hope with others. By being there physically and emotionally for them. Help us to share hope with those who are experiencing health and mental challenges, with those who are experiencing loneliness, with those who are underprivileged and marginalized.
Lord Jesus Christ, give the comfort of hope to all who long for justice. Those peoples whose basic democratic rights are eroded by authoritarian dictatorships. Give hope to those who long to have the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and association, freedom of religion and movement in their countries. Also give hope to the women who no longer have the right to education in their own countries. Give comfort and hope to those fleeing their own war-torn countries, seeking asylum elsewhere, and subsequently kept in detention for years. To those suffering from famine and drought, to those victims of domestic violence, may your hope be a comfort to them. May your hope fill their hearts, O Lord. Here's an Advent prayer I also came across, I thought would be appropriate. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives only during this Advent time. Let us now say the prayer our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us in the time of trial,
but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I mentioned that in the words of John and across Advent, there is this invitation to recognize that we're not the people that we are called to be. And as we come to the Lord's table, that's a place where we're able to acknowledge that. But it's also the place where we're able to hear God's word of welcome and God's renewal of us as we do that. And so we gather around the Lord's table this morning. Here, the Lord's table is an open table. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here often and you who may not have been for some time. You who have tried to follow and you who have struggled to do so. Come not because I invite you, it is our Lord, it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Now let us hear the story of how this sacrament began. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this fruit of the vine, the ordinary things of the world which God will make special, and we come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. it is right to give our thanks and praise. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these, O Lord, you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we were lost or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And you prepared an offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, strengthened, and made new again. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, pour out the Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And later he took the cup and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this and drink." Would those who are sharing in the distribution come forward, please? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and we shall be whole. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We share now, for all is prepared. The body of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. And the blood of Christ was shed for us. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, God, our Father, that through word and sacrament you have given us your Son, who is the true bread of heaven and food of eternal life. So strengthen us in your service that our daily living may show our thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We conclude this morning with Joy to the World.
And have my nature sing.
Isaiah we hear, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining upon them. So let us go out in the light and go out and be light to those who are in darkness. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Sauna.